Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We got a special show planned, and we've got a special guest that's going to be joining us momentarily. And also got a couple other things I want to let you know about as well as the program progresses, but to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find more about us as well as our church, our home church. Where I'm the pastor, is the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Certainly invite you out to our Friday night Bible study. And stay tuned for some more announcements with regards to that. Pray for us. We have been meeting in the Richfield Holiday Inn for on a temporary basis since 2009, which makes about 13 years, and it looks like come April we are going to be moving into another place, a place that we'll have 24/7, and it's kind of exciting. It's just kind of been developing here this past week, and so do pray for us. We'll let you know more about that as we go forward, but again, like I said, we have a special guest today, and we are going to be joined by Janet Folger Porter, and we believe she's online, ready to go. And Janet Folger Porter, welcome to the program today.
Thanks so much, Pastor. So glad to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you back again. And again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come out last Friday morning to the breakfast with out there in Weymouth with David Barton of Wall Builders. And tremendous opportunity there in listening to him talk, and again, a chance to actually meet you in person. That was really nice. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you could come. It was quite an event and an eye-opener, I think, for a lot of pastors who have been bullied into silence, and they need to understand, no, they have the freedom of speech, and they actually can talk about biblical issues and candidates to stand for biblical values, and it was, I think, very encouraging for everybody who was there.
And then again, I saw you out at the McFan meeting, Medina County Friends and Neighbors out in Medina, last Saturday, I believe it was, as well, and you had mentioned something both on Friday and then on Saturday morning about the Texas Heartbeat Bill, which is one of the reasons I had you on today to talk about that, but there's just a lot of stuff going on, and of course, give you some opportunity to talk about that, but one thing I had kind of had it a little lower down on a list of things to talk about, but with the recent throwing out of the districting maps by Chief Justice O'Connor here, well, it looks like everything's up in turmoil again, and that's important because you're a candidate for Congress, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am. For the 13th Congressional District, which this week includes all of Summit County and the northwest portion of Stark and a little sliver of Portage, it's really Akron, Canton, and that area surrounding. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what the court does. Maybe next week it'll be somewhere else.
Who knows? But we pray maybe the legislature will finally take a stand and stand on the law, stand on the Ohio Constitution, and tell Justice O'Connor that she has no right to rewrite election laws and redistrict that's given to the legislature and the districting commission. And there was something in there, I think, that she wanted them to hire an impartial map drawer. How's that? That sounds constitutional, doesn't it? It's unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. This is really insane. And she's struck down three versions already. I'm not sure that she's going to, like anything, they have to happen to draw. And we might just need to ignore her opinion and move on because the elections are approaching. We've got, 6 weeks before the primary. It'd be kind of nice to know where those districts are.
Well, yeah. And plus the people who are overseas, we've got people who live overseas. My wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands in the 1990s. It takes time to get a ballot sent to somebody overseas. And then all our people who are serving in the military, we're coming up on the time when those ballots start going out to people. I hope that some people down in the legislature follow up on their calls to impeach Chief Justice O'Connor. I know there was a number of people down there talking about it, but will they have the backbone to do it is another story, isn't it?
So. Yeah, it sure is. She's going to be aged out, I guess is how they call it, term limited out in December. But I think it would set a really great precedent to see an impeachment take place because these judges are really out of control and they have been for decades. And so I do think it's really important that we understand that we have the ability. We have three branches of government and we have the ability to impeach those judges that are acting out of line with the Constitution.
Absolutely. Well, again, that was actually a lesser item that I wanted to discuss today, but it really shot up to the top with the recent rejection of the third set of maps. So I just encourage people to pray and contact your representatives, contact the governor's office and ask them to take a stand and impeach if necessary. But the other thing I wanted to get to move on to, because unfortunately such a short time in a half hour, the prospects of seeing Roe versus Wade overturned. What do you think?
Pastor, I think it's done. I think Roe is dead no matter what the Supreme Court says, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
We started out back in 2010. God put the idea in my heart to keep hearts beating with a heartbeat bill. And they told us it was impossible. We went up against the establishment and had to go overturn two vetoes and get past all the rhinos who had blocked us in the Senate. But now what was once impossible is now inevitable through the God of the impossible. There are now 14 heartbeat bills and counting, heartbeat laws and counting, excuse me. 13 of them are making their way through the courts, but one that I had the privilege to help draft and recruit the sponsor was Texas. Texas is a heartbeat bill with a little bit of a twist. Instead of a criminal penalty, in Texas, what they have is a civil penalty. And here's what it does. It gets to the heart of the issue, which is the motivation of abortion, which is money. And so what it means is that any citizen in the state or, frankly, from anywhere can sue an abortionist in the state of Texas, or anybody that aids or abets in the abortion. And at the end of the lawsuit, should they win, they'll get $10,000 from the abortionist. And that means we shut them down with what they're in the business for to begin with, and that is to make money. And so when we take away that source and say, if you violate the Texas heartbeat bill, which means the heartbeat law, rather, which means abortion, on a baby whose heartbeat can be detected, then you are now opening yourself to lawsuit from anybody in the state or beyond that would sue to enforce the Texas heartbeat law. So it can go after not just the abortionist, but again, anybody that aids or abets in the abortion, which could be the clinic escort, could be the receptionist, could be the insurance company. And what that means is that we protect 40,000 children a year in the state of Texas. It is the most protective law in the nation. It is the most significant victory that we have seen in 50 years. And here's the best news nobody knows, Pastor, is that the Supreme Court, not only in the state of Texas, but the U.S. Supreme Court has reviewed the heartbeat bill in Texas now four times. And you know what we've learned? They don't have the votes to overturn it.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is no matter what happens in Dobbs, no matter what the Supreme Court says, if they can't overturn a bill that protects 9 out of 10 babies, Roe is dead. We have inches to go to get to our final goal where all children are protected. But right now, every child whose heartbeat is detected is protected in the state of Texas and in the state of Idaho that just passed it in their House. They are a signature away. As soon as Governor Brad Little signs the Idaho-Texas version of the heartbeat bill, those Idaho babies are about to be legally protected as well.
Well, amen to that, and hopefully Ohio's bill will, you know, heartbeat bill, which was signed into law by Governor DeWine, will soon be able to be enacted as well.
Yeah, that's going before the courts right now, and yes, I hope that it will be what it was drafted to be from the very beginning, the arrow to pierce the heart of Roe versus Wade and bring abortion to an end. But even if it doesn't, we now know, and I've been talking to state legislators here in Ohio, we need a Texas-style heartbeat mm-hmm. version, because that's the version that works.
Right.
We have been missing that key to victory for 49 years, where we've tried all kinds of things. We've been regulating abortion for decades, but we actually have the pathway to victory that we have been missing. That is a way to protect almost every child. 40,000 babies a year. That's babies a day in Texas, soon to be joined by a whole bunch more in Idaho as soon mm-hmm. as that ink is dry on their heart law with the civil penalties like Texas did.
And that's really exciting. You know, and it's fitting that it started here in Ohio, that you got the ball rolling here with the heartbeat bills around the country, because after all, the motto of Ohio, state motto, is "With God, all things are possible." Isn't that fitting?
Yes, it absolutely is. In fact, that has been my life motto, quite frankly. I remember back when we passed, I lobbied to pass the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion. I mean, we passed a lot of those other kinds of bills, like I worked to pass the parental consent law that's on the books, and woman's right to know, and fetal homicide, and all of those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, it didn't do the job. We have only been regulating around the edges of abortion, but with the heartbeat bill, we do get to the heart of the matter. We actually are able to save 20,000 children in the state of Ohio when this thing's finally upheld. But if you've been to the statehouse, Pastor, you've seen mm-hmm. our motto, right?
Yes.
The state of Ohio motto that's emblazoned by the seal right in front of the steps of the statehouse. I can't tell you how many times we stood on that word, the word of God, literally standing on the word of God. Mm-hmm. Others were kneeling around the seal, as I put in my campaign literature, because I want people to understand this is all by God, for God, through God. It's with God all things are possible, and without Him we can do nothing. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And so when they told me that couldn't be done, what we did is, we introduced them to our God of the impossible. And we saw, in fact, what's interesting is there were some reporters that were trying to get a story, and I just wasn't interested in talking to them. But they basically described what happened in the legislature. They said, it's not that Janet Porter, this is on NPR. NPR was reporting this, and they said, it's not that Janet moved more to the center. No, it's that the entire political reality shifted around her. And how did that happen? It happened because we stood on the word of God, mm-hmm. do what the word of God says to do, to rescue those that are being carried away to death, as it says in Proverbs 24:11, to be a voice for those appointed to die, as we're commanded to do in Proverbs 31:8. And guess what? The God of the impossible made a way when they said there was no way. And now more than 30 states have introduced heartbeat bills, many of them now making the adjustment with the model that we've provided on our website, faith2action.org. You can download the model and take it and run with it. Here in this state and around the country, we now have a model that works.
Right.
The court cannot overturn, because if they could have, they would have.
Right. You know, and one of the things I liked when David Barton was talking is how he brought out what the founding fathers thought about this, because after all, in the Declaration of Independence, second paragraph says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he pointed out that life is the first one that's listed there, and clearly, it wasn't, they didn't mean simply that you had the right to live your life the way you want to, but that you had the right to your life. You can even see that in some of the amendments, where you cannot deprive somebody of life without due process of law. And it was exciting to see him bring this out. I actually did some looking into some of the statements. He referenced James Wilson, who talked about when they find that the baby is first able to stir in the womb, and others talked about the quickening and everything. And some of this goes back in English common law to the 1200s, talking about protecting the life of unborn children. So you're not talking about something that's just new or a new interpretation of the Bible. You're standing up in line with our founding fathers and people before them, aren't you?
We are, and they, based on the technology that they had at the time, and that is
right.
They knew they were pregnant when they could feel that baby stir, well, that's when they protected those children. And David pointed to were sermons that people gave on the issue of abortion. It's tough to find a lot of pastors with the courage to do that right now, it seems, but they were doing it then, and that's why we were a country that was blessed. We were a God, we were a country that honored God. And that's really where we need to be back again. And I'm really encouraged to see more and more pastors with the courage to speak up. Now, there's a lot of them that feel like, well, I don't want to poke anybody's wounds, and I don't want to make anybody upset. They have had an abortion, but what they need to understand is that in order to we don't want people walking around wounded. In order to have that wound shut, not be open for an attack of the enemy, what we need to do is we need to communicate the truth of the gospel, and that is there is forgiveness for sins, but you've got to repent, you've got to turn, and once that happens, that sin is as far as the east is from the west. And what I believe there's a lot of wounded women that are out there right now,
yes.
And men as well that have participated in this. And what they need to understand is once you repent, God says that you're forgiven, and I believe that those who've been involved in this travesty of abortion will be among the strongest voices against it. That while you may have been deceived and tricked into taking the life of your child, but I'm telling you what Satan meant for evil, God can use for good and turn you in to a powerful voice to save millions of lives. And that's what's happening. And one of the women that comes and lobbies with us for the federal heartbeat bill, basically I said, yeah, you know, you lost two children, but God's using you to save millions, because already we're looking at just 40,000 in the state of Texas every year. In Idaho, that's happening within a matter of days. We've got a federal heartbeat bill that is, as I've said before, we lobbied to have that bill passed. We had 174 co-sponsors on the federal heartbeat bill, which was more than any other pro-life bill at the time. And when I met with then-Speaker Paul Ryan, he refused to bring it to a vote, which is why we've got to fight not just those on the left, but those that are on the right, the rhinos who are blockading this, just as we did in Ohio. I mean, it was a decade before they let this bill come through. But we ran in election cycle after election cycle after election. We ran candidates against these senators. In fact, when no one would file, I put my faith to action. I actually filed against the Senate president myself. That's not a real popular move, Pastor, but it was one that had to happen. I mean, they spent more than $1 million slandering me on every news and every outlet and every commercial, every hit piece you can imagine. But you want to know something? In the end, we wore them out because we wouldn't go away. We weren't going to quit until lives were protected. And that's what I want to do when I get to Washington. I want to fight with others who are willing to stand and say, listen, if you want your budget or one of these bills that matter to you, we're going to band together and join and link arms, as we saw in South Carolina. We saw it also in Arkansas, where legislators said, if you want your budget, you better give us a vote on the heartbeat bill. And if we do that in Congress, not only on the life issue, but on the liberty issue, which is really imperative right now, we could join together, maybe put together a contract with America. There's an idea where we can join together and say, if you want our votes, we want these things. Because it just seems to me that there's been too many years where we've been promised everything under the sun. We've been promised, oh, we'll repeal Obamacare when the Republicans take control of Congress. They tell us, oh, we're gonna defund Planned Parenthood. Oh, really? They haven't done it yet. When they say, oh, we're going to bring back voter integrity, stop the steal, it hasn't happened. But if we join together, this is things I've learned in the last decade of battle, and that's one of them, that we need to join together and unified, stand for what matters, and life, as David Barton very clearly points out, as our Constitution, our Declaration point out, life is the first right. It makes every other right possible. Without it, we've got nothing. I mean, I'll tell you one other quick story. I met with a former Speaker of the House, the Vern Reif Building is named after him, and he said to me, Janet, why are you so involved in the life issue? Why is that? There's all kinds of issues that matter. He still told me education and health care. And I just said, well, with respect, sir, I said, what good is the best education or the best health care if you're dead? Life is a prerequisite. It's the most important issue, but it's a starting place, a priority issue, but one where we'll start. And I'm running because I want to fight for liberty as hard as I fought for life.
Absolutely. I was looking at a quote here. Jameson Taylor had a great article on the Founding Fathers and right to life. And he said this, he said, where there is no guarantee of the right to life, legitimate political authority simply does not exist. Where there is no guarantee to the life or to life for both the weak and the strong, the rights to liberty and the pursuit of happiness for all are themselves at risk. Just like what you said, huh?
Yeah, and you know what? It's important to realize, as our documents point out, our founding documents from the Declaration of Independence, that we are endowed by our Creator. These rights come from God. They're not from the state. Because if the state gives, the state can take away. That's what we see to our nation to the north, where they can Justin Trudeau you. If you you come out and stand for freedom, that you don't want to be forced to be vaccinated, they can freeze your bank accounts, arrest you, stomp on you with on horseback. This is what happens if men control all things. No. Our founders had such wisdom. Such God-given wisdom to say, no, there are some rights you can't take away. They're inalienable. You can't legislate them away. And yet that's what we're seeing happen primarily in the courts. But we need to go back to that place where our rights, we recognize, they're endowed by our Creator. Our God gave us this inalienable right to life, this inalienable right to liberty, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, all of these things that our founders so wisely put in writing are not negotiable. You can't take them away. And that's where we need to get to people that actually, when they're sworn to uphold the Constitution, actually mean it and will do what it takes to fight to restore our Constitution, restore our liberties, restore our right, including the first right, the right to life.
Absolutely. I was going to point out in the amendments to the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, in the Fifth Amendment, it actually says no person should be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and certainly abortion deprives that unborn child of life without due process of law. And you know, that statement is repeated essentially the 16th Amendment, I believe it, or no, I'm sorry, the 14th Amendment.
I think it's the 14th.
Yeah, the 14th. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And at the very least, wouldn't you think that you would need a court order to have an abortion? Just looking at that, I mean, I don't want to see court orders for abortion, but you see what I'm saying? There's no process of law. What has the unborn child done that's so heinous that it must be deprived of life?
You know, the bottom line is, of course, that unborn life is innocent, and so you would have to have due process, as you've said, to declare a unborn child guilty, which just can't happen.
Yes.
There's nothing more innocent than a child that hasn't been born because they haven't had a chance to do anything wrong. So that's really an obvious thing, and that I think that's why our founding fathers said, hey, you know what? Even though this is self-evident, they said that this is self-evident, but they said we're going to make sure, just so nobody misses it, that we're going to write it down anyway. And I'm so glad they did.
Yes,
and I'm so glad we now know have that foundation to return to, even when we've gone so far astray, to come back to that place. And I got to tell you something. There's a lot of people who are giving up on America. And I have to tell you, I'm not one of them. And I'll tell you why. God is famous for working through remnants. Who would have thought that during a resident Biden administration that we would see the end of abortion?
And yes,
that's what happened. Why? Because we didn't quit. We kept standing on the word of God, the promise that with God all things are possible. And that's honestly, Pastor, what kept me going for so long, now 12 years. In this battle, certainly much longer in the pro-life battle, but on this battle specifically, to keep hearts beating, I believe that I believe in God, that His word is true. And so that's why I kept going. And now we're seeing states all over the place. Talk to Alaska. They've introduced one in Florida now. It's time to bring about the legal protection that our founders spelled out so clearly. We need to get back to that. And again, God works through remnants. And
even he can take even the worst things that take place.
Yes.
And work them for good.
Hey, I hear the music. We're coming up on the end of the program here, and certainly I don't want to see any unborn child have to be judged guilty and executed. I support capital punishment, but not for the crime of being inconvenient. We're talking with Janet Folger Porter here today. And Janet, could you give contact information where people can find out more about you and your candidacy?
Sure. I'm actually speaking at the New Era Restaurant in Akron on Saturday. You can go to my website at janetfolgerporter.com.
All right, janetfolgerporter.com. And thank you for being on with us. Continue in that fight. It's a just cause. God is blessing, and we're seeing victories even in time of when we think we wouldn't, like you pointed out. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor. My privilege.
All right. Well, God bless, and I want to thank everybody for listening to us as well. God bless. Have a great weekend, and join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.